home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata, presented by Sanderson Ford.
That's Big Red Monday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. Bickley and Murata into hour number two. We've got a roundtable coming up with Burns and Gambo in just seconds here, Bick. We'll be simulcasting here in Phoenix and in the Dallas Metroplex with the guys from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, KNC Masterpiece. They were
nice.
They were the show that Stephen Jones had the world's worst cell phone on last week that we played the audio of, and you told me to shut it off.
Oh, I did not. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are we going to exchange insults and jokes, Carlin? Do you have anything prepared? Really?
Don't know.
It's
okay. You're good. You're good, Jared.
That's true.
So I'll be given, we'll be giving and taking, thoughts going into tonight's Monday night game at AT&T Stadium with the Cowboys hosting the Cardinals. You know, this is only the third Cardinals road Monday night game.
And I did not know that.
Here we go.
All right.
8.7 Arizona Sports. It is Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good. We're good. I guess we should also be welcome to y'all's program at the same time,
yes,
right?
Yes. Welcome to Phoenix, where I think it's still triple digits today on October 19th. Welcome to our hell, boys.
All right. So Cliff Kingsbury said last week that his Texas accent gets really thick after a few Coors Lights. What about you boys? Does that happen to you boys?
Absolutely. As soon as I crack my first bottle.
Is there an Arizona accent that one would detect if that was the case? Because I do not fall into that Texas category.
I'm going to sit here and we're going to kind of do the reverse thing, and I'm going to kind of make fun of our own place. The problem with Arizona is that we're full of transplants, people from all over the country. So there's nothing really uniquely Arizona.
Yeah, so an Arizona accent is a New York accent,
that's right.
A Chicago accent, a Philly accent, a Boston
that's
accent,
right.
You know.
So the only thing you guys can make fun of is our sports teams, which
or the
generally
fact that there's
stink.
No grass anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. One of the two teams participating in Monday Night Football tonight actually plays on a grass field. And it ain't the Cowboys.
How do you guys have a grass field? Did you take all the grass in the state of Arizona and transplant it to your football
field? It's
not
even from Arizona. It's from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's maintained and grown here, guys. Give us a little bit.
I want to get into this matchup because I'm struggling here as a Cowboy fan. I do think the Cowboys are about the 10th worst team in football, especially with all of the injuries that they have. Yet now Las Vegas has this as a Cowboys 1-point favorite, and I'm struggling to see the Cowboys win. So can you help me out? Maybe I am overrating the Arizona Cardinals a lot, but can you guys help us out on why people think the Cowboys with Andy Dalton, backup tackles, no defensive tackles, are better than the Arizona Cardinals?
I think locally here, people are just tripping out because the Cardinals lost to a couple of teams that they should not have lost to. And they went to Carolina and lost to a Panthers team with Teddy Bridgewater. And then they also lost to a Detroit Lions team with that bearded freak of a head coach. So, I think that kind of took some of the luster away from the Cardinals. So I think you look at the Cowboys and the offensive weapons you guys have the wide receiver trio you have, Ezekiel Elliott. That's, as some people have said, that's about as good of a position for a backup quarterback to walk into, even if he has red hair.
Yeah, I'll give you another one, too, guys. The Cardinals defense under Vance Joseph as the coordinator, they have a way of making competent quarterbacks feel really comfortable. They don't generate a lot of pressure. They don't force turnovers. You subtract Chandler Jones from the mix as their one bona fide pass rusher. That's what on the Cardinals side of the ledger, that's what scares me going into this matchup. Is Andy Dalton is a capable quarterback. We've seen that for over a decade.
I thought that Isaiah Simmons was going to be a monster on the field for the Cardinals. Has he not lived up to those expectations? What's he not doing well? Is it because the head coach is like, no, I like offense. We're going to put him on the offensive side of the ball.
He has just failed to carve out any role. I mean, he started, it starts in football are kind of meaningless outside of quarterbacks, but he showed up in the starting lineup in the first four games of the year. But go back to week one against San Francisco. Early in the game, he gets called for a horse collar penalty on George Kittle, and then he got caught with his eyes in the backfield on a pass to Raheem Mostert that went for a 76-yard touchdown. And that's the last time anybody's really noticed Isaiah Simmons in the defense. He plays, I think his highest snap total in the last four games has been 13 defensive snaps. So he's just not getting on the field. And some of that has to do with the inside linebackers Jordan Hicks and Devondre Campbell actually playing well. But they're shorthanded now. You would expect a guy that was drafted that high with that skill set to be able to carve out some kind of role, and it just hasn't happened.
What's the general vibe in Arizona about Kyler Murray? Because, like, obviously we love him around here because he was so great in high school. And is everyone on the same page that he's definitely a future franchise quarterback? Is it still wait and see? What's the vibe on him?
Yeah, I think most everybody is really stoked about what he brings and how good he can be. Some of his rushing touchdowns purely are electrifying is what they are, and you guys know that. Yeah. As a passer, he struggled a little bit this year. And then as an offense, Cliff Kingsbury, he hasn't gotten this thing elevated the way I think a lot of people thought. When the Cardinals brought him in and everyone's like, oh, cool, offensive guru who flamed out at his alma mater, but really good with X's and O's, it really hasn't materialized. So I think people look at the player and go, okay, there's a lot to work with there. But it's also, you know, it's a matter of comfort with him because there's times when you can tell he's a little bit skittish about playing in a sport that's this big, fast, and strong. It's not like playing at Oklahoma, but people here are pretty stoked on him.
Are you guys also stoked that you have the most handsome coach in the NFL? How often does that come up on the show?
Well, face, guys. You know, I mean, if
I'm not disputing that, I'm just also bringing up.
I'm joking. I think what's interesting too is that he does not have a good record at Jerry World at all.
No,
he's gotten his backside.
Hold on, I want to rewind a little bit. You guys think he's better looking than Matt LaFleur?
Man, that's a good point.
Kevin, that's a question for you. Who would you rather date?
Yeah, I know. For sure. He's the most handsome.
Sean McVay is over here saying, what about me?
Sean McVay, I've kind of lost my interest. I've moved on.
Andy Reid, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can win the Super Bowl ring, I respect power for sure. But
I know you're going to get a good meal with him.
That is true.
A really good hamburger.
Oh, my God. I got scared for half a second.
So you guys, though, but to be clear on this, so you guys who have watched the Cowboys play every down, you guys see them as distinct underdogs in this game.
Man, yes, I really do. And, like, if you look at the point spread, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I know it's a product of where the money comes in, but it's been astonishing because the Cowboys were going to be 2.5 to 3 point favorites. And then Dak got hurt, and then they got installed as 2.5 point underdogs. And then, so, you know, 5.5 point swing without Dak makes sense. But then it keeps creeping. And now, as of this afternoon, the Cowboys are a 1 point favorite, which is a byproduct of the money, but it also would lead you to believe that, like, the difference between Andy Dalton and Dak is 1.5 to 2 points, which I think is obviously patently insane.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the Cowboys have basically been trying out a cornerbacks opposite Trayvon Diggs the entire season.
And Diggs stinks too.
Yeah, and that's their rookie. I mean, who's playing good for a rookie, but not playing up to starting NFL caliber level right now. And then they're still trying to figure out who their safety combination is. But Mike doesn't even call one of the guys by his name. He just calls him by 23 the entire time.
Doesn't deserve a name.
Yeah, so, like, we're in a situation where our defense, our secondary has been decimated by injuries. The defensive front, we were just talking about Dontari Poe. He can't even stand up without getting pushed backwards. So, like, the entire defense just looks that miserable. How are they going to keep Kyler Murray contained? And then on top of that, you guys pulled off maybe the biggest heist in all of history with getting DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson.
Yeah.
And how do the Cowboys stop him from getting whatever he wants on the field? They're going to have to triple team him.
So I think we can all say that all four of us are expecting the number to go over tonight. I'm not a gambler, but to look at the over-under 55.
I don't get it.
You do bring up something interesting, and I know this is not related to the Cowboys, but we do want to thank Bill O'Brien again. Does he get destroyed in Texas still, even though he's lost his job for that trade?
People couldn't understand why he was employed at all going into the season. And then every single loss, it was like, you save your Adam Gase as to who has the hottest seat. It's Bill O'Brien. And
it's very tough because you're like, if you're going to be the new GM, you're like, wait a second. So I have Deshaun Watson. That's a positive. And I have no draft picks for 6 years. This is going to be a little bit tough to rebuild this team because Bill O'Brien traded all of them.
I thought it was cool of O'Brien to text Romeo Crennel yesterday, though, to tell him to go for two. That was pretty cool that he still has a little bit of influence there.
Did you see the analytic number? I don't know where y'all sit on like analytics versus gut and everything like that, but I was watching a statistical breakdown of it, and they said analytics will tell you that if you go for two in that situation, your win percentage is 98.2. If you kick the extra point, it's 98.1. And I was like, that's where I think analytics is off, because I kick that extra point to go up eight every single time.
Absolutely. The worst you can do, and the pressure's on the other team to convert the two-point conversion, worst you can do is overtime.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. I really, really am.
All right, guys. So to feel better about our Cowboys winning, if they're going to win, a lot of people here, including Jerry Jones, who we interviewed on Friday, said we need to get Zeke way more involved and be way more of a balanced team. Is it easy to run on the Arizona Cardinals?
That's a great question. It has been at times, especially with the real physical pounding backs. We saw that in the Carolina game. Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in this defense or its coordinator. I think they're soft at times. Their physicality has gotten better than it was last year, but they don't always play with the ferocity you would expect them to. So I think that Ezekiel Elliott is a big problem for them, is what I think.
But one of the things the Cardinals have going for them, late last week, it was kind of up in the air on whether Jordan Phillips was going to play in this game. He had a death in the family, and he had tweeted out that the NFL was making a pick between going to a funeral or playing on Monday Night Football. He couldn't do both. But then Michael Bidwell came in and arranged for him to be able to do both. So his presence in the middle of that line is big, especially with Chandler Jones out. And I would say, the Cardinals aren't the hardest team in the league to run on, but I think their run defense has been better than their pass defense so far.
Do you guys, since we were talking about this, feels like a discernible underdog game for the Cowboys? What are y'all feeling in terms of the outcome tonight?
Bick, you want to tackle this one first?
Yeah, no. I've been vacillating. I think it's an enormous game for the Arizona Cardinals, and I think Kyler Murray in these situations, he's responded very well, and I think he's really going to vibe on this playing in Jerry World and going
never
back.
Never loses there.
Yeah, never, it has never lost there. I think there's that. So I want to believe the Cardinals are big enough and good enough to win this game, but this is a large platform, man. You know, you got that big old star at midfield. It's a different deal winning in Dallas.
Yeah, I just feel
or Arlington, wherever
that stadium
is.
I feel like
located.
This is going to be a shootout like most people expect with two defenses that aren't necessarily that strong. And I might be being kind talking about Dallas's defense that way.
Yes.
And when you just look at the offensive talent on both sides, I mean, if there was ever the recipe for a high-scoring game, it's that. As we sit here 11:13 Phoenix time on the day of the game.
That's not what time it is.
Phoenix time.
That's not what time it is.
It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's really funny.
I thought it was – I forgot it's Dallas mean time. I forgot. But I honestly, guys, I don't know who to pick right now. I'm kind of flip-flopping every time I have a different thought on the game, too. It should be entertaining. I'll say that much.
I've put a lot of money on Arizona. Doesn't mean I'm rooting for them. I'm picking 42-27 Cardinals. So just for the Cardinal fans listening right now, not that I'm saying I'm rooting for that, but I think we have the worst defense arguably in Cowboys history this year. And so I think Kyler Murray, we couldn't catch Daniel Jones. We could only get pressure on him through blitzing for the most part, and he would get out of those situations. Sometimes it was an incomplete pass. I'm like, if you can't get Daniel Jones to the ground, we're not getting Kyler Murray to the ground. And so I just, to me, for your Cardinal fans, I'm struggling watching all the Cowboy games, seeing how in the world we're supposed to win this game.
Yeah, but take solace in the fact that even if the Cardinals do win tonight, the Cowboys will still be in first place.
Damn right.
Yeah. 6-10.
This is don't y'all be the wish y'all were time. In our division again.
Yes, absolutely.
I think the Cowboys can win it at 6-10, guys.
That would be unprecedented.
Yeah.
Right. We'll bring you back for our segment about could this NFC East be the worst division in the history of football,
yeah.
Not just for this year. Well, we're glad that we got this opportunity to chat, and maybe we'll have to revisit and trash talk some more.
I right, like it. Thank good, you, guys. Fellas.
Absolutely.
Clear, thanks. There we go. A little crosstalk fun with the guys from 105.3.
Sounds like you have some jokes
Dallas.
Ready, Vinny.
With the KNC Masterpiece, the name of the show.
So am I right? Did you have some jokes ready?
No.
I mean, I've heard of some dumb ones about the Cowboys before. There's a famous meme out there that says, "I'm sorry, honey, you can't be the first female quarterback in the NFL. Tony Romo already beat you to it." Right?
I hadn't seen that
one. The best thing to come out of Dallas, I-45 South. Right?
I reserve that joke.
Jared's writing that one down. Right? No. Why is it called the Lone Star State? It's the highest rating they could get. but that wouldn't have been becoming of us. But I did like that guy said, that's not what time it is. That's so Texas.
Dallas Mean Time.
Yeah.
Central
right.
Time.
Right.
What's later than Central Time?
Everybody goes by Central Time.
What time it is.
Even like the national television networks always say
that's
Eastern
right.
and Pacific.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not true. 8 o'clock, actually, 7 central.
Yeah. I'm actually, things like that always bother me because the only insult anybody ever has about Arizona is about not being able to grow grass. It's, what else?
Beck, I hate to tell you, that's not the only insult people have about Arizona.
What do they have? What do they say in situations like this?
If it wasn't Texas talking to us, they could have other insults, I'm sure, about the craziness of our state.
We live
Texas
in
is...
We live in a state that contains the city of Tucson.
Okay.
Okay. Right. That is true.
So this is the third consecutive week, at least, where we talk to somebody from the other market, and all they do is say how terrible their team is.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cardinals are 1-1 so far in those games.
Did anything they said make
and
you feel better?
Did we talk to somebody from Detroit the week of the Lions game?
Yeah.
We did.
They probably said they stunk, too. You're right.
Yeah. I think they're 1-2 in those
right.
games. They didn't really, you know, I know sometimes in those late week or, you know, before the game conversations we have with out-of-town media members,
mm-hmm.
I tend to sway. Nothing that they said swayed me. But that doesn't mean I don't believe the Cowboys can't win this game. The Cardinals are going to have to be, I believe, better than they've been under Cliff Kingsbury offensively to win this game.
I agree with that. I really do. I think they're going to have to be able to stack really good scoring drives on top of each other. And I've not been able to see, and I have not seen this offense be able to do that very, very frequently. That to me is the referendum for Cliff Kingsbury tonight. Then the Vance Joseph thing is create pressure on Andy Dalton. Okay. Find a way to bring some blitzes to knock that quarterback around. Don't let him get comfortable and allow him to start picking you apart. The problem happens to be, when you saw those great blitzes, Todd Bowles was dialing up yesterday, and he was bringing people all over the place all the time. His back end had them covered. That's the art of it all.
Yeah, but that's also the calling card of the Todd Bowles defense. I don't expect Vance Joseph to become Todd Bowles just to put pressure on Andy Dalton. I mean, he's a much more conservative defensive coordinator. But that doesn't mean that there's not opportunity to scheme something to get pressure on Andy Dalton. The Cardinals need to do that. They mm-hmm. need to put him into situations where the ball's in jeopardy. That's one of the glaring stats that comes out in this game is the Cowboys are terrible at taking care of the football, and the Cardinals are terrible at forcing turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those things is going to be more prevalent tonight?
Yeah,
and that
listen,
could be, very well be the difference in the game.
I know, and this is kind of what kind of echoes with me here about this game. First of all, I think The state of Texas, they have a very, very fond view of Kyler Murray. Clearly. For the story, for the... Because they love that stuff. They love for their high school legends to be larger than life. And even if you're 5'10 and an eighth.
Yeah, I mean, he did one thing to tarnish that Texas image a little bit, and that was transfer from Texas A&M to Oklahoma. He could take another step in tarnishing his own Texas image tonight if he goes in and embarrasses the Cowboys' defense on national television. I'm all for it. I'd love to see it happen. I would love to see, I don't know if you saw it on ESPN.com. They asked for, they do a little cross-write thing with different beat writers.
Uh-huh.
And bold prediction by Josh Weinfuss of ESPN, who covers the Cardinals. Kyler Murray will throw for 350 yards and run for another 100 in a reminder to everyone in Dallas-Fort Worth that he's a legend there for a reason. I'd love to see that happen.
Yeah.
I would love to hit the airwaves tomorrow saying that's what he's capable of. That's what this offense is capable of.
Okay.
And this defense is bad enough to make it happen.
Listen, I said this earlier when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals, that great teams, when they know they have something special, they declare it. For as much talking as went on here early in the season about we feel like we've got something special, the guys in here are great, they haven't declared anything on the field. They've managed to beat some really bad teams. They beat a good 49ers team on the road to start the season, and this is what they have done up until this point in the season. So I don't know about this collective team and how far they're going to go this year, but great players also declare themselves. You could not script a better stage for Kyler Murray in terms of what I think matters to Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is deeply proud of what he's accomplished on a football field. I think he's deeply proud of what he's accomplished in that stadium. Three high school state championships and a Big 12 title.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good resume.
A real good resume. So, and he knows that those people in Texas love him for what he did in high school. It's a very powerful thing to be walking into. So Kyler Murray and his greatness, this is the time to declare it. And I think he's going to. I think he's going to play very well. But I hope it doesn't have to be a frenetic performance where he's constantly rescuing stale, stagnant drives with well-timed scrambles or a well-timed throw. I hope it's, as Cliff likes to say, on schedule.
Yeah. Here's Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Cowboys, talking about the kind of pressure Kyler Murray puts on a defense.
I mean, definitely. Every week you have a rush. You have a rush plan. Kyler's is unique. You see, the majority of his scrambles and his ability to come out of the pocket is up through the A and B gaps. You know, and that's something that's it's a weekly plan. And I mean, he's extremely quick. I think just the fact that he leads the league in quarterback rushing yards, speaks volumes to the challenge that he presents to you when he decides to come out of the pocket.
And we've seen the teams that have been successful in kind of slowing down Kyler mm-hmm. Murray and making him look rather average
mm-hmm.
really point to Carolina and what Phil Snow was able to do in that ball game. They're not coming after him full bore. They're pushing up the field, keeping him in the pocket, and trying to make him to challenge him to throw into the middle of the field. I'll be curious to see if the Cowboys try to follow that example.
I have seen personally two transcendent defensive coordinator performances, defensive strategy performances this year. One was Mike Zimmer against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson still came back and beat him at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mike Zimmer in that game alternated between blitzing Russell Wilson and then just playing this soft zone where basically his defensive linemen barely even moved upfield. They just created this little cocoon of everybody waiting for Russell Wilson to just throw the ball from the pocket.
But a lot of that success they had defensively, too, was by their offense keeping Seattle off the field.
That's right. That is right. The other would be Todd Bowles, what we saw yesterday. When you look now, I think really there's a lot of pressure for Cliff Kingsbury to perform and show out well in this game. And I'm going to tell you why. He needed a great call on fourth down against the Jets to get that game in his rearview mirror. That was a one-score game facing a punt situation before that thing turned for good. if Dallas's defense is truly the worst Dallas defense that the Cowboys have seen in a long time, and you just heard it from those two guys in Dallas, they said this is the worst Cowboys defense they can ever remember. If Cliff Kingsbury can't light that team up, you've got to ask yourself about what exactly is this offense that he's bringing to Arizona?
Yeah. Well, they're getting a little help tonight. Well, maybe more than a little help. Linebacker Leighton Vander Esch had a broken collarbone, had surgery. He's expected to play tonight. About a month after having collarbone surgery.
Wow.
So he's a guy that's around the football a lot that could help them out defensively. We'll have a lot more on this contest coming up and a lot more on Week 6 in the NFL. It's Big Red Monday here on Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
Give it to Henry. Looking for some room. Finds it. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40,
wow!
35, 30, 25,
yes!
20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 94 yards. Touchdown, Titans!
A lot going on.
Derrick Henry, he's good. How about that for a declarative
statement?
Yeah,
that's really strong analytical stuff.
Thank you.
Now I know why you're so beloved among members of our audience. What?
Nothing. 212 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, 94 on that carry. Pretty entertaining game between Tennessee and Houston. I thought you were going to be prophetic because you called Houston. You called your shot on Friday. And they had their chances. I think Romeo Crennel really, really screwed that decision up to go for two, leave the door open, and Tennessee walked through the open door.
What was he doing? It's what you expect from Romeo Crennel, and I wasn't aware of Mike Vrabel and his genius at milking clocks and absorbing penalties. The stuff that he has learned from Bill Belichick about exploiting NFL loopholes and then using it constantly, it's great stuff.
Yeah, it was actually really complicated because I watched the whole thing unfold. Somebody did a really good breakdown video of it, just applauding Mike Vrabel and his knowledge of these rules and how to milk clock. And basically, he was able to save 40 seconds at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The Titans score the game-winning touchdown, by the way, with 4 seconds left on a play that I believe most quarterbacks would have gone to the line of scrimmage and spiked the ball to clock it. And Ryan Tannehill didn't do that. Brown made an unbelievable catch. I think that might have been the most entertaining game of the day.
It really was. And the comparison between Derrick Henry and David Johnson in terms of production, David Johnson had 19 carries for 57 yards, I believe. Derrick Henry had, 22 carries for 212? Plus, he had, 75 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Plus, he just bowled over a guy to win the thing in overtime.
There was also a play near the goal line where David Johnson was the lead blocker and absolutely whiffed on his block. Somebody pointed out. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, David Johnson, he's not in Derrick Henry's class. Derrick Henry is, I believe, the best running back in football right now, all things considered. And yesterday, getting involved in the pass game is scary. But you brought up a great point on this game in show prep, Bick, and that is Tennessee, they've had some adversity, too, over the past couple weeks, getting shut down for COVID. They came out. They really acquitted themselves well in the Tuesday night game against a good Buffalo team. They come back. They win in overtime yesterday. They're 5-0. And with what we saw transpire in the AFC yesterday, your point was this is not just a top-heavy conference now with Kansas City and Baltimore and then everybody else. Tennessee is for real.
Yeah, they are. And I said this at the start of the show. We all thought that Baltimore and Kansas City were the elite teams in the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers are monstrously good. It's a shame they lost Devin Bush, a great linebacker for them. He tore his ACL. Tennessee lost Taylor Lewan.
Got an ACL.
He tore his ACL. But the Titans and the Steelers, plus the Chiefs and the Ravens, throw in the Bills.
Don't forget about the Raiders either. I mean, there's some good teams in the AFC.
Used to be for a long, long period of time in my upbringing as a football fan, the NFC was just dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Favre and the Packers, the 49ers, and the Cowboys. And the AFC was like the JV. They'd send Stan Humphries to the Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Stan Humphries played in the Super Bowl.
It's a Neil O'Donnell to the Super Bowl.
How'd that work out?
How did that work out for you?
Not very good. Buffalo's interesting, too. And I know they play tonight. They're 4-1 and in first place in the AFC East. They've got a negative point differential right now at 4-1. Isn't that weird?
That's I did not know that. That's very, very.
I guess their one loss, they got killed. I don't even remember.
Speaking of getting killed.
It was Tuesday
killed,
night against Tennessee.
I just checked in with my fantasy football team. I knew I was losing to Vinny because I had a couple of really bad performances. He is killing
annihilating
me. Thrashing me. And he still hasn't even posted Ezekiel Elliott's.
Yeah, let's go to the scoreboard, shall we?
Oh, my goodness. It's 146-70.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I need a big Hopkins-Murray combo night tonight, which I'm expecting and hoping for.
Come on, Bick. If Zeke doesn't do anything, you still have Mahomes and Diggs going tonight. If
but
they
I
go
still
for,
couldn't cover that.
If they go for 90.
You talked about the...
Oh, for 90. I got a shot. You telling me I got a shot, Vinny?
Hey, you got a shot.
Yeah.
The Bills game tonight, with the Patriots losing, the Bills win tonight. They're all of a sudden, they're three games up? I mean, I know it's still early in the season, but with the streak that the Patriots have winning that division, that'd be some statement to make this early in the season.
Yeah, if the Bills won tonight, they'd be up two games on Miami. Miami's back to eat, but three on
the
New
Patriots.
England. Yeah. How about Baker Mayfield just sapping all of the excitement and enthusiasm out of what was going on in Cleveland? And a lot of that has to do with Pittsburgh. They're really good.
Yeah.
But Cleveland has been, they've got two losses and they've been smacked twice badly.
Right. Yeah. One of the guys that I have on my fantasy football team, because I've lost Christian McCaffrey, but that's no excuse. Everybody loses a big player. I believe Kareem Hunt, especially when he was, this game is for Myles Garrett. Shut up, Garrett. Yeah, okay, Kareem. Thanks for coming. Thanks for posting me 4 points or whatever you gave me. Well done.
Yeah, not a great
performance. How is your fantasy football team doing, by the way? Because it's a pretty good team. You got Julio Jones on the bench. I think you got more points on your bench than I do for my starting lineup
right now. You might be right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yuck.
I was 2-3 going into the week.
All right.
Yeah. I've been ravaged.
Not anymore.
I had Justin Jefferson, too, yesterday, who almost had 40 points. By the way, how bad are the Minnesota Vikings? I actually walked away from their performance against Seattle thinking they were going to get things turned around. They are awful.
Mm-hmm. I really thought they were by far the best one-win team in football, but I think that loss to Seattle eviscerated them. They just, and you know what? They've got a quarterback they don't trust. They just don't trust that guy. And who would?
He threw six interceptions all of last year. He's already got 10 this year.
That was when they signed him and gave him all that money. It was one of those things where everybody said, it's not worth it. That's not going to work. At best, he's going to be mediocre for them, and he is.
And I think that hands the title of the best one-win football team over to the L.A. Chargers. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you said earlier, if this whole Tampa-L.A. thing keeps cresting, you're going to get the Buccaneers playing the Chargers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this pointed out, Jim tweeted us and said, hey, this World Series will determine who the city of champions is this year. Will it be L.A.? Already got a title with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be Tampa Bay? Already got a title with the Lightning.
Or will the Mariners crash the party and all of a sudden Seattle will get two? No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, this Tennessee team is just... I did not expect this from them.
You mentioned
at all.
How good the
I
AFC
really
is. Who do you think is the best team in the AFC right now?
I don't know. I did not know Ryan Tannehill was this good.
I would give Pittsburgh the nod over Tennessee right now, but that's 1-2 for me.
Isn't it funny how after the second half of the Titans season last year and their playoff run, still nobody wanted to think that they were going to be good this year? And they're just rolling. They're just continuing it.
I picked them to win the division, but almost by default because I wasn't a believer in the Colts getting Phillip Rivers. I thought Jacksonville was going to be terrible. And they teased us for a week. Jacksonville might be the 31st best team in the league. Nobody's worse than the Jets.
Right.
Who got shut out yesterday by Miami. And now Adam Gase and Greg Williams are fighting publicly over comments. I said this to you earlier today, Bick, off the air. How does Greg Williams continue to get jobs?
I don't know. I really don't.
Now, you could say about Adam Gase is incompetent. He's a bad coach. The numbers bear that out.
Yeah.
He was given an opportunity. The Jets chose him over Matt Rhule, which they have to be absolutely regretting to the nth degree right now. But for Greg Williams to be employed in the NFL still, I mean, he's like a spy who goes in and ruins teams.
Maybe it's because teams, owners, head coaches love having that bad cop addition to their staff, the one that does not care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of my great mysteries. I told you going into that Cardinal game that I heard from somebody, a good source of mine in New York, who said there's some stuff afoot here where Greg Williams probably won't be coming after Kyler Murray because he does not want to further this reputation. And more to the point, he doesn't want to risk any more of his reputation for Adam Gase. Now he's come out and he said, look, this is not at all a defensive thing. The offense needs to score points. He's trying to get himself fired before Adam Gase gets blown out, so he can be clear of the Adam Gase wreckage. I don't know. And it's a fascinating thing, and why somebody would hire him, I really don't know. I mean, if you're a football organization, you really believe that you need to instill this culture of players not decapitating or metaphorically speaking, concussing other players, why do you keep hiring somebody who that's all he does is target players?
Yeah, and it's been talked about for years and years.
I don't get it.
Text WIN, W-I-N, to 620-620 for your chance to win a twosome at the Ok Chin Southern Dunes Golf Course. Once again, that's WIN to 620-620. We all win with Ok Chin. Coming up next, how much will the Cowboys be rallying behind their fallen quarterback? How much of a factor is that tonight? We'll get into it next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Bickley and Marotta, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Monday night. Mike Nolan, Nolan, Nolan can get this offense rolling. That should be the goal Monday night. The Dallas D is ghastly, horrible and nasty. Couldn't be worse off if they tried. And Texas is the state that Kyler dominated. A coming out party for our guy. Take him out, beat him up, beat him up. Take him out, beat him up tonight. Dalton's in, Dak is out, Dalton's in. You can win Monday night. Yeah! Yeah!
Jarrett, text Carlin. Well done.
When you were performing that, did you kind of feel yourself almost morphing back into your Aladdin? A little bit?
A little bit with the voice there.
Yeah.
They call me Buckshot Carlin.
That's what you think they call you.
Tonto Goldstein. You ever heard that joke?
I have not.
Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
What is that joke?
I'll tell you it off the air.
Okay. Okay.
Mike Nolan can get this offense rolling. The defense has been ghastly and nasty in Dallas. But on the flip side, they do have a lot of offensive talent. We know it's going to be Andy Dalton at quarterback. And the outpouring of emotion and love and respect towards Dak Prescott, it's been so widespread, Bick, you have to wonder how much of an emotional factor that's going to be in this game. Now, they finished last week without him. They won the game. We know Dak Prescott's not going to play again this year. Here's Andy Dalton on his role this evening against the Cardinals.
For me, I just got to run this offense, you know, how it's supposed to be run. You know, I feel like I've just got to be me and kind of let my play speak for itself. You know, I feel like there's a lot of talent on this team, and my job is to distribute the ball to our guys, let them go make plays, and, you know, just be me throughout the whole process of it all. And so, you know, like I said, I feel like I still have a lot of good football left, and, you know, I'm anxious to go show this for the rest of the season.
Isn't it a bit interesting that on the flip side, I mean, the Cardinals lost a very popular player for the season as well, and a very good player in Chandler Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But because the injury wasn't as gruesome as Dak Prescott's, it's just a football injury. I don't know if
Dak Prescott's injury is more kind of
like
a rallying cry. That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a level of injury that happens, whether they're extremely gruesome or extremely costly to that player's career financially, or a combination of both, that lead it to a different level. Yeah, we're gonna do this for him, man. You're right. You're right. It's a good point.
Although
Chandler Jones had he had his sights set on the NFL all-time sack record.
Well, he said it was going to be easy to get.
Yeah.
And we kind of raised an eyebrow at that because he was close last year. In fact, he was within shooting distance of it going into Week 17 against the Rams and then got shut out and finished second in the league with 19 sacks. Now, Corey Peters, one of the leaders on that defense for the Cardinals, he did talk about the rest of the guys having to deal with the emotions and you know the lack of production and not having Chandler Jones.
Well, I think first thing you just have to acknowledge that a type of player like Chandler, you just can't replace that. As far as from a production standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, the energy he brings to the locker room. So I don't think it's a point in really trying to replace it. I think everybody else just has to step up and improve. We're not expecting one guy to come in and lead the league in sacks. But we are expecting everybody to kind of pick it up, and that includes the offense. So, I have to step up. The younger outside linebackers have to step up, and it's going to be a full team effort to try to replace that production.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah.
Because, again, you just don't plug somebody in and say, go get me four sacks. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, listen, and a couple things that I want to reference back to our visit with Jim Bob and the Crayfish. Who was it? What was it?
KNC Masterpiece.
That's what it
is. I think it was a Sweet Baby Ray's.
Kevin and Corey.
Kevin and Corey.
There's never been two more Texas names than Kevin and Corey.
Brown Sugar and Smokey, I believe, were their names.
What did you call them?
I don't even know.
Jim Bob and the Crayfish.
That just came off the top of my head. Don't expect refined humor from me, okay? It's not what I do.
It was funny. It was funny. I wonder what they're calling us right now on their show.
There were two things that came out of that to me. Number one was they didn't want to engage in a lot of civic insults because they don't feel confident in their football team.
No.
Right?
Nor should they.
The very first question, the way they started it off was saying, like, tell us why there's any possible reason Dallas should be favored in this game. Like, what is going on here?
Right. I know.
And boy, they were big on the spread and all that stuff, too. I don't know what they got going on in Dallas there, but
there was a lot of movement. I mean, the Cardinals started at like 2.5 point favorites.
Right. Yeah.
Now at the end of the, before the game, they're underdogs.
And the other thing was being from a market that knows a lot about college football and all levels of football, they're stunned that Isaiah Simmons hasn't produced. And maybe tonight is a night for that. I really hope he does.
Yeah, okay.
I really, really hope.
On a scale of 1 to 100, what's your confidence level that we'll be talking about?
Mine's
about at a 2.
Yeah.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, how many snaps will he have? Between 1 and 10?
Yeah, I'll say 8 to 10.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I want to see the kid play.
The one spot they're not getting injuries is
the spot that he was taught to play.
Right, that's right.
You would have thought that last week against that terrible, terrible Jets offense would have been what you would give him a chance. I don't know if this week versus that great Dallas offense is the week.
But then here's another question that I would like to pose out to everybody, because I've heard Gambo say this a lot. Who's he going to replace? And I've heard people say Devondre Campbell, no one knew he was going to be that good. Garbage. When the Cardinals signed him, I got a text from a guy who's covered him in the past and said, you're going to love this guy. This guy's a baller. So the Cardinals must have hoped Devondre Campbell would have been as good as he is. Okay? They surely hoped Jordan Hicks would be as good as he is. So why are they training him at inside linebacker? Just a thought. Just a thought for a guy who can play four positions. Why are you training him at that one? Okay.
It's a great question.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll get more into it,
I think. Yeah, we will.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast. It's brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Coming up next, this basically concludes the Bickley and Murata portion of the program. Although we're on the next portion of the program, too. Little Big Red Monday roundtable action. Burns and Gambo straight ahead. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Welcome to Cardinals NFL Game Day.
Cardinals NFL Game Day.
What up, though? Beautiful day for some football.
Yeah, 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 yeah!
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals.
Turn me up, coach.
98.7 FM.
Turn me up, defense.
Arizona's sports station.
Turn me up all day.
Well, a special game calls for a special roundtable broadcast here on the flagship home of the Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We like doing it roundtable style when we get big moments like this, and that's exactly what we're going to do for the next 90 minutes here as we're getting you ready for the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys. Normally, this is when you'd hear Bickley blast on something at straight up noon here on the Bickley and Murata show, but instead we've turned things over to a roundtable conversation with Dan Bickley, with Vince Murata, with John Gambadoro, and with myself, Dave Burns. Thanks, Bick.
And Dave Burns is kind of like that guy. We all have that special friend who always drives on the long road trips. That's Burnsy.
He's the designated
driver.
There's
always the guy that always drives when you go to Mexico.
Which is great for me because I've started drinking.
What about you, Gambo? Have you had a limoncello or two since I'm going to be doing all the driving today?
No, I think I might have had a bubbly water.
Well, you do know how to live. You really do know how to live, Gambo. That's for sure. I'm more than happy to drive. It's my ambition to be Ernie Johnson here of the 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. And that's what we will do.
Your bow tie looks sweet,
by the way. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm just going to hand it off to Chuck and Kenny and Shaq all day and let you guys yell at each other about the Cowboys and the Cardinals. Which, coming up at 5:15 this afternoon, the big Monday night matchup and a game in which it's just shaded with all sorts of different colors and storylines and angles and things to talk about, but none more so than a game that I think, guys, when the schedule came out, looked like it might have been the start of the really challenging part of the Cards' schedule. Yep. And I feel like that's been neutered a little bit because of the Dak injury and because of how bad this Dallas defense has been. Bick, I'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think this game feels really high risk, high reward, even given the state of the Cowboys. I think you win it on Monday Night Football. I think to win it, Kyler Murray is going to have to play very well. And in the process, if they do win it, it's going to give them a lot of just instantaneous emotion and gratification and a lot of bounce going into Seattle. But the risk in it, to me, Burnsy, is that I'm looking at Cliff Kingsbury, and he's been an NFL head coach now for over 20 games. It's a long time. He has had a long time to get his stuff together. He's tweaked his offense upon advice and being implored from Sean Coogler. He's been gifted DeAndre Hopkins, and now he has a defense in front of him in Dallas that two radio hosts from Dallas said is the worst Cowboys defense they have ever seen. If Cliff Kingsbury can't sequence productive drive after productive drive after productive drive, then I'm going to begin to question what is the value of Cliff Kingsbury and what is the value of his offense if you can't at this point in time in your career move this football team with that quarterback and those weapons against bad defenses.
Gambo, is there a certain number points-wise you feel like the Cardinals have to hit today against a defense this bad?
No, I don't really believe in that, Burnsy. I mean, they got to win a football game. And, you know, I'm sure the Cowboys are going to try to run the ball a lot with their two backs and try to keep the ball away from Kyler Murray. And if they're successful doing that, the Cardinals may not score a lot of points. So I'm not a big, they got to score 30. Against the Jets, I think, you know, you wanted to just make a statement and win the game convincingly, whatever that was. You know, here a lot of people think this is going to be a very close game that'll come down to a field goal, and you just want to win the game. I mean, if they win it, you know, 21-20 or 24-21, and to me it's the same thing as winning, you know, 30-27. You just got to win the football game. I'm not looking for a set amount of points. I'm just looking for a solid game. And you know, to Bick's point last week about Vance Joseph, this is his biggest test. This is a huge test. So I'm really concentrating a lot on the defense to see if they can stop this Cowboys offense.
I can kind of take merit. I do take merit in both what Bick said and what Gambo said. I do believe, and I brought this up earlier on our portion of the show, Bick, the Cardinals offense, at least from a point output, seems to stall right around 30. We've never seen them hit over 34, I think, maybe 38. I don't think 30 points is going to win this game tonight. And the Cowboys have played high-scoring games because of A, breaking news here, they've got a really good offense and a really bad defense. They went into a three, there was a three-game stretch earlier this year. The Cowboys put up 570 yards and 40 points, 522 yards and 31 points, and 566 yards and 38 points, and they're 1-2. That's a testament to how bad this defense is. So go back to the offense. That's where I take merit in what Bick said. This should be a game where the Cardinals, from an offensive standpoint, can do what they want to do. It should be a confidence builder. It has the potential of being a breakout game for Kyler Murray to spread the ball around to the receivers, maybe for Kenyon Drake to get right. It's all right there for them.
Bick? The I look at the and I think we're all kind of touching on the same thing here. I think when you look at their first 30-point performance, came against a Washington team that just lost to the New York Giants. Okay, that's how bad Washington is. The 30-point performance against the Jets, I go back to this because they won that game going away, but they needed a great call from Cliff Kingsbury on a fourth down to prevent themselves from punting the ball to the Jets in a one-score game in the second half. Okay? That, to me, is not a dominant performance. So when you look at the Jets' outcome on paper, you see the final score and you think, hammered them. That's not what the game looked like. They won it. They hammered them late. But it took a fourth and one conversion and a very risky play call from Cliff Kingsbury to even get to that point. So what I want to see, and I do agree that there are no style points here, but I would be disappointed because I think at some point in time, there's got to be an offense here that transcends, that you can rely on, that you can count on. If you've got this many weapons and this quarterback, then show me something. Put it together from a schematic standpoint, from an X and O standpoint, and impress me.
Well, one thing's for sure, Gambo, the Cowboys have a defense that if ever there was a game for the Cardinals offense to fire on all cylinders, as I think we're all agreeing they can do, this certainly is it. That Dallas defense is wretchedly bad.
No, but they get help here, right? Leighton Van Der Esch is going to play for the first time since he broke his collarbone in week one. Good football player. There, that allows Jalen Smith to kind of maybe be a spy on Kyler Murray, which is what they want to do. So Van Der Esch, this guy was a Pro Bowl player in 2018 when he was a rookie, had that neck injury last year, but they really like him, and that defense could really use him. So they get some reinforcements back. They get one of their key players back. But, yes, the Dallas defense has been historically bad, one of the worst that they've ever had, and everybody's been able to go up and down the field on them and score, and I would expect, you know, I would expect the Cardinals will as well. To me, the whole thing is how many possessions are the Cardinals going to get? How many plays are they going to get? And that is a direct reflection on what the Cowboys offense does.
Yeah, and there's going to be, and that's where things get really interesting with the Cowboys offense, because you would think in a time like this, all right, no Dak Prescott, it's going to be Andy Dalton. You would think in a time like this it would be Ezekiel Elliott. But if you look at their numbers, it wasn't that up until this point. I think they ran the ball the second fewest percentage of plays in all of the NFL with Ezekiel Elliott. And one has to wonder, Vinny, I'll start with you on this one. Backup quarterback, but with all of those crazy wide receivers to get the ball to, I know the standard play seems like get the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. Do you think the Cowboys will do that when it's all said and done?
You might see a little bit more of that, but it would not make much sense. to not utilize, in my opinion, maybe the most lethal trio of wide receivers in football, in Gallup and Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Andy Dalton is a backup. I don't think he's a typical backup. He's a guy who last year on a bad Cincinnati team had his best game of the season statistically against the Cardinals defense. So I think maybe you see early on a little bit more Zeke, but again, they've had success in moving the football and scoring a ton of points by putting the ball in the air. And I think Andy Dalton is capable of doing that. Now, Bick and I both mistakenly forecast Joe Flacco to be that guy to be able to do that. He doesn't have help in the receiving core. I mean, Andy Dalton's not going to be throwing to Jeff Smith.
Yeah, not like
that's a good point.
Not like Andy Dalton does. Andy Dalton's got, and of course, this is kind of a glimpse at what could have been with CeeDee Lamb catching passes, right? I mean, how much ink was spilled? How many words were said on this radio station alone, Bick, about CeeDee Lamb being a member of the Arizona Cardinals for the better part of 3 months during the NFL offseason?
Without a doubt. And then all of us on draft night couldn't believe the twist of fortune that Isaiah Simmons was still there at 8 and fell to the Cardinals. And I think we were all in agreement that that was the play there. But, you know, to date, Isaiah Simmons hasn't been able to give you something. I'm curious if, and I brought this up earlier, when they signed Devondre Campbell, people who know football, people who had covered him in the past, one of them reached out to me and said, you guys got a hell of a player. He is a baller. So if you knew that and you knew Jordan Hicks was a tackling machine at inside linebacker, where have you gone with the development of this kid? Because if you brought in Devondre Campbell to be a player, and he has been, then where were you going to get reps for Isaiah Simmons? And why was he starting in week one? It all speaks to me very, very candidly to just the direction of this defense that is largely run by Vance Joseph without a lot of oversight. Cliff Kingsbury lets Vance Joseph do what he wants, and then Steve Keim is going to kind of supervise what Vance does. And to me, I think there have been a lot of errors here. If you want to see what a great defensive coordinator does to a football game, look what Todd Bowles did to Aaron Rodgers yesterday in manufacturing pressure, in hitting Aaron Rodgers, in establishing a tone. And that's what Todd Bowles did. I want Vance Joseph. You're going to have to obviously stop the run early. And thank goodness Jordan Phillips is playing this game. The loss of him might have been more consequential than the loss of Chandler Jones in this particular game. But you have got to manufacture some. You got to hit Andy Dalton. You can't let him get comfortable.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the defense coming up in the show. Gambo, I want to start the. I want to twist the conversation a little bit towards Kyler Murray now. Undefeated in that building, and he's never lost there, and yet he's a kid. And with no disrespect to all the 20-somethings out there, he is a kid in this league. What do you think are the emotions going through that kid's soul right now going into this game tonight?
You know, I think that this kid, calm, cool, collective, there'll be some nerves, of course, Monday Night Football, big stage, but not your typical nerves, man. This kid, he's played in big, big football. I mean, like that high school state championship game was like 45,000 people at that game when he played that first one. And he played in three of them. Big 12 championship game against Texas. So I don't think that the stage is too big for him. I don't think he gets rattled in this game. So I know a lot of people are talking about it, his return here, but, I mean, he'll be comfortable 7 games in that stadium. It's not maybe in his rookie season. If this game was last year, this time, 6 games into the season, maybe it's different. But with 2 training camps under his belt, the year under his belt, I think he's far removed from being, concerned and worried about this game.
And more to that point, I don't even know if he's going to be treated like the enemy quarterback by those people in attendance there. The 2 interviews we've done with Dallas people, they revere Kyler Murray. It goes beyond, he was a schoolboy legend. That happened so recently that people really love that kid. So I think it's going to be a comfortable situation.
Are you suggesting it might be a Rocky IV type situation where the Russians cheered for Balboa at the end of that match? Hey,
if look. I can change,
you can change.
And yous can change.
Everybody can change. I don't know if Cowboy fans are going to be rooting for the Cardinals when it's all said and done. I don't know.
I'm not saying for the Cardinals.
For Kyler Murray. I hear what everybody's saying, Vinny, on this one, and I don't know.
Do you root for Cody Bellinger?
Hell to the no.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I used to, but something about that kid starting to rub me the wrong way.
I also don't remember. I don't have any recollection of Cody Bellinger, the high school baseball player, either.
That's true.
I mean, I've met his dad on a couple of occasions, and, I mean, nice family, great people. I'm not rooting for your kid. I'm not going to do it. Uh-huh. I'm sure he's a wonderful, wonderful young man, but I'm not going to root for him. I don't know, Vinny. I get this sense that I'm going to be really hyper-focused on Kyler early in this game because I want to see if there are nerves.
Sailing passes.
We've
seen that early in a couple of other games.
How's the footwork? How's he processing information? I have a sense that he is going to be internally at a little DEFCON 2, DEFCON 1 kind of moment where he's going to be feeling some anxiety going into this.
But I think it's going to work for him. I think that's actually going to boom laser focus him. I may be way wrong about that. I felt this way going into the Baker Mayfield game last year where he was coming off a couple of bad performances, and now Baker Mayfield was on the other side of the field, and it was one Heisman Trophy winner from Oklahoma against the one before it, and he rose
to the challenge.
Yeah, did he ever?
Vinny, what do you think from Kyler tonight?
Even keeled is a great way to describe him, but he's also a human being. There's got to be feelings going back to that state, to that particular facility where he's had a lot of success. But, you know, he wasn't playing against the Dallas Cowboys when he was at Allen High School. He wasn't playing against the Dallas Cowboys when he was at Oklahoma. It's a different level. The stage is different. Maybe it's mitigated a bit by the fact that there's only 25,000 fans in attendance. But, yeah, I mean, the emotions are going to be there. But, I mean, he's played enough football now to be able to keep emotions in check and just rely on what he can do. And I think we'll see that. But, yeah, I don't – your point, Bernsie, about will there be early jitters, that could be telling. But we haven't seen those jitters, even when they do come early for Kyler Murray, we haven't seen them last throughout too many entire football games.
But some of those Texas high school state championship defenses that he played against were probably better than the Cowboys.
You may not be wrong.
DeSoto was better than the Cowboys. You might be right.
You're not that far off.
Those teams in Texas, they had great character.
Yeah, what was the Friday Night Lights High School? What was Coach Taylor's high school?
East Dillon.
How do you know Dillon?
Then it was East Dillon.
Dillon, that's what he does, right?
It's one of the best shows ever.
Meaningless information. That's what Vinny does.
Everything.
It's
a great show. I could tell you the name of the actor who played in like every single episode. I couldn't remember Dillon, East Dillon. And then like one year they were blue and white, and then they were red and silver or something like that. Yeah, all right. Well, it's we'll see what Kyle. And then there's Cliff. And his return to Texas, probably not going to stick around too long to have the Coors Light to get that Texas drawl in his voice. Maybe he did last night when the plane landed. He has not had success in that building, but I don't know if that factors into this equation the way Kyler's success in that building does.
Yes and no. I mean, if we've learned anything over Cliff Kingsbury, that he carries a little more anxiety than he lets on. And when he went back in retrospect, clued us all in on how he felt those first two games here, wondering about his house and this and that, I think he does kind of internalize some of this. I hope it's a night for him to shine and for the offense to shine and for the quarterback to shine. I think Kyler Murray is going to make a lot of big plays tonight. I just hope they're not all the frenetic, born of chaos kind of big plays. I'd like just to see it just be, like Cliff says, from an offense that's on schedule.
Yeah, what do you think tonight says about Cliff? I mean, we talk about Kyler Gambo. We talk about Kyler going back into that building. What does it mean for Cliff going back into that building?
Yeah, I mean, Cliff's got a lot to prove. I mean, he's still a young coach. He's had some success. The offense made a lot of strides last year. They did. They improved in a lot of areas. So it's not like Cliff's not a young coach on the hot seat. He's got the job. But, you know, they lost that game to Detroit, and they lost that game to Carolina. And they had a chance to not be 3-2. They had a chance to be 4-1 or maybe 5-0, and they weren't able to get it done. So this is a game that you're on the road against a team with a high-powered offense, and I think they're going to have to win some games like this in order to get to the playoffs. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure to win this game and not be 3-3. Because
you're right on the money. Right on the money. Because here's why what Gambo is saying is absolutely correct to me. Last year, you got after the bye week, the Cardinals had five games left, and there were a lot of losses and a lot of angst and a lot of weirdness, and there were some hints and signs of promise. Cliff Kingsbury said, okay, here's what we want to do. We want to have a winning record these last five games. They nearly pulled it off. They went 2-3. They were in that game against the Rams at the end. All right. I think going into this year with the way the schedule was set up with these weapons that have been gifted to Cliff Kingsbury, particularly DeAndre Hopkins, and getting rid of David Johnson, this team should never go sub-500 again in the near short-term kind of future. You lose tonight, you're playing Seattle, you might be under 500 again. Well, last thing you want to do, to me, if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you're building something that's supposed to be special, you don't want to be 3-4 chasing 500 midway through year two.
Vinny, I'm going to go back to something you guys were talking about when you were on with the host from Dallas, and that was kind of their belief in Dallas, that they can't believe the Cowboys are actually favored in this game. They were looking for reasons from you to buy why the Cowboys can win this game tonight. So I'm going to kind of end this part of the roundtable here in a couple of minutes with kind of where we started. We looked at this game as the start of the tough part of the schedule for the Cardinals. I don't think we look at that anymore. I don't think we look at it like that anymore, given what Dallas has done so far this year.
Yeah, but we've also gone through, in recent memory, two games against Detroit and Carolina that were winnable, especially after starting 2-0, that were winnable games, that the Cardinals came out flat and didn't play very well. And what I told the host from Dallas, for anybody that didn't hear it, was, why should Cowboys fans believe that the Cowboys are favored or can win this game? And again, and I know we're going to get into this a little bit more, so maybe I'll plant the seed and we'll come back to it. Vance Joseph as a defensive coordinator doesn't typically do a lot to make opposing quarterbacks uncomfortable. The Cowboys turn the ball over a ton, but the Cardinals defense is terrible at forcing turnovers. There is decent sack numbers in terms of the Cardinals rank among NFL teams, but the pressure percentage is way down. I think that's first and foremost. If you want to slow down this offense, you have to start by making the quarterback uncomfortable. I don't care if it was Dak Prescott in there tonight. I would be saying the same thing. It applies to Andy Dalton. They need to find a way to do that, and it probably got more difficult without Chandler Jones this week.
Yeah, when you, on your winnability scale, Gambo, where do you put this game compared to some of the ones that we've seen previously this season? The Carolinas, the Lions, is it a massive failure if they don't win this game? Is it somewhere more in the realm of the Carolina game? Where do you put this on the winnability scale for the Cardinals tonight?
I compare it, to be honest, I compare it to the Lions game. Like, it was a worrisome game because, Matthew Stafford, okay, Dalton, we don't know what to expect. He hasn't, played this year, but he's been a good quarterback his whole career. He won a lot of games in Cincinnati. He's got a winning record, for goodness sakes, as the quarterback of the Bengals. So I think that this is similar to me with the Detroit game. They had offensive weapons. Tons of offensive weapons that we were somewhat worried about, just like the Cowboys are. They had, a good quarterback. They had a good running back. They had Galladay. They had Hockenson. They had Marvin Jones. They had Swift. So I think it's similar to that. It's a game that could go either way. That one went Detroit's way. This is a close game either way. I don't think anybody blows anybody out here. So I'm a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10 on my confidence level that the Cardinals can win this thing.
Whereas Bic, it sounds like you, if I'm paraphrasing your thoughts here from kind of Cliff Notes version of your thoughts here, it sounds like you're saying, okay, it's not a must win. It's not a game that you have to have unless you're counting on this season potentially being something special for the Cardinals. And if you feel that way, you better win tonight's game.
Yes, that's
exactly. Did I put my thumb on it?
That's exactly correct. That there's a couple ways the season can go. It can be up and down, more learning experiences, more growth experiences for the quarterback and the head coach, and then just convince everyone that next year's our year. That might be the more realistic scenario. But yeah, if you want, the Cardinals would be in the playoffs. At least I don't know now, but going into yesterday's games,
they would have been the seventh.
They would have been the seventh seed.
They would have been
the
seventh seed playing the Green Bay Packers in the first round.
Well, there you go. We've seen that before. Sign me up for that, right? I just think that yes, this is a game that they're going to have to shine. They squandered their margin for error by losing that game. Take your pick. Whether it was Carolina or Detroit.
Yeah. When we come back here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, our roundtable coverage continues with Gambo, Bick, Vince Marotta, me, Dave Burns. We'll turn our attention to the Cardinals defense, to Isaiah Simmons, to Vance Joseph, and just how much pressure on that unit and that player there is going into tonight's game. That's next here on our roundtable coverage, 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals NFL Game Day.
Good afternoon, good morning, and good night. Wait, what?
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It is our roundtable coverage here on the flagship home of the Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. 5:15 kickoff. The pregame coverage begins at 1:30, so they've merged Burns and Gambo and Bickley and Marotta into one show. We'll be with you until 1:30 before our pregame coverage kicks in. Guys, our roundtable coverage here. I'm going to start with Vinny on this one, and I'm going off the top of my head because I tried to look it up at the last second, and I ran out of time. I think Isaiah Simmons was on the field for 13 snaps last week against the New York Jets, up from 10 the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start a conversation about the Cardinals defense by asking all of you to take a guess on how many snaps Isaiah Simmons plays today.
Good question.
Against the Dallas Cowboys. Vinny, you first.
I'll go right around 10.
10? Less? Yeah. Less than a week ago?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
Gambo?
17.
Okay. Bick?
20.
20? Okay.
That's uncharted territory.
It is.
Vinny, why so low?
Maybe they're just keeping him under wraps. Maybe they do unveil him a little bit more on the outside in pass rush situations. I don't know. I mean, I can remember two of the defensive snaps he's played, and I think the number is, what, 57 for the year?
I believe you are correct.
I can remember two of them that he had an impact on. It was a negative impact on both. And I really think, and I don't think the Cardinals are going to talk about this much, but it's plain to me that drafting a Swiss Army knife defensive type player in a year where there's no preseason games and everything else is weird in terms of preparation, we're not going to see the benefit of it maybe until 2021. That's my thought on it. Yeah. Now, they don't really strike me from a personnel standpoint as being that desperate to get Isaiah Simmons on the field. Now, I did think Steve Keim's comments to Doug and Wolf were interesting on Friday, that I want to see him on the field, but, and then he went on about the butt for 45 seconds.
Right, yeah, about why he wasn't on the field.
I don't think he's ready.
Now, and then it begs the question, and it's, I like what you guys talked about last Friday when you were talking about how there are a lot of other rookie defensive players who have accumulated big roles.
Big roles.
Right? And so you can't use that as an excuse. And I think, John, you pointed that out, and I completely agree with you on that. And then I wonder, okay, the development of him. If you signed Devondre Campbell, which you did before the NFL draft, okay, a month beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You probably had an idea he was a pretty good player. Maybe you didn't know he'd be this good, but I don't think you make that signing unless you've got a pretty good idea how good this kid is. Jordan Hicks has been pretty darn good,
mm-hmm.
pretty reliable. Why are you developing him at inside linebacker if that is the case, if you've got these guys in front of him that are keeping him off the field? If he's a Swiss Army knife, couldn't you have prepared a better role for him? These are questions I have when it comes to what they're doing with this guy. They get very, very muddled by they were to me, when you look at him starting week one against the 49ers, people can say, yeah, he started, that doesn't mean anything. But here's the deal. As soon as that game began, Kyle Shanahan started picking him apart, which made me feel like Kyle Shanahan had a better idea of this kid's limitations than Vance Joseph did. And that scares me.
Gambo, is Devondre Campbell the reason why Isaiah Simmons isn't on the field? Is Isaiah Simmons the reason Isaiah Simmons isn't on the field? Or is it Vance Joseph the reason why he's not on the field at this point?
No, I think it's Devondre. Who's he going to play in front of? He's going to play in front of Hicks or Campbell? Those guys are better than him right now. I think that's the reason why. look, a lot of these rookies that are playing, Okuda struggled. I mean, Okuda struggled those first few weeks. Then he had a pick against the Cardinals, but he was struggling.
Uh-huh.
So rookies are going to struggle. I think there's just better players in front of him right now. Sub packages, get him on the field. He's an inside linebacker. He could probably play a few snaps at outside linebacker. He's a front seven guy. He's not a safety. I think at some point you got to just start getting him in. You know, you got to sub pack. Look, I like Jordan Hicks, but he's not having a great year. He's missed six tackles, and but those guys call, you know, they call the plays and everything, and they're leaders on that defense. I think there will be sub packages to get Isaiah Simmons in the game, and as we go forward with the season, I think he'll get more and more opportunities. I'd be surprised if he's just a 10 snap guy for the entire season.
How much, going back to the comments that were made by Steve Keim on Doug and Wolf's show, I just want to see him on the field. Vinny, how badly do you think Steve Keim needs to see him on the field, given that he's got the spotty track record when it comes to the draft? I mean, he certainly had some hits, but he's had a lot of misses, too, well, when it comes to the draft. And I do wonder how this kind of shades this conversation we're having about Isaiah Simmons.
I think he wants to see him on the field and see him develop, because if you just look at this draft class, they've got zero from it. Zero from the entire class.
Yep.
I mean, there's only a couple of them that have even played. Evan Weaver didn't make the team. Eno Benjamin hasn't played a snap. Isaiah Simmons, you know, a lot of people going into the season were tabbing him as
defensive
rookie of the year type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawrence is now hurt. Fotu is going to be leaned on a little bit more, but they've got nothing from this draft. I'm sure Steve Keim wants to see him make an impact on the
long and the short of it is, until the Cardinals get back into the playoff picture, Steve Keim will have had a lot of hits, a lot of misses, and should be very, very grateful for Reggie McKenzie and Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
For gifting him DeAndre Hopkins.
And Carson Palmer.
And Carson Palmer
in the
when
trade.
It's all said and done.
He's made good trades. I mean, the Chandler Jones trade was a good trade.
He's done two handfuls of really good things and probably close to two handfuls of big whiffs. And I think the draft record...
Yeah, it seems like most of the whiffs are in the draft, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like we can sit here and make a case for Steve Keim, the GM who signs free agents. Okay, there are going to be hits and misses there. It's free agency. Steve Keim, who makes trades. He's obviously made quite a few. Steve Keim, the drafter, though, is the one where it gets a little wonky and it gets a little sideways on him sometimes, right? I mean, you look at, there have been years where they've had classes that haven't contributed at all.
Now, and here's the thing, too, I should throw Kyler Murray in there, but I always make this distinction. The selection of Kyler Murray was more of a courage deal to me than it was targeting somebody that nobody else knew or whatever. And Steve Keim's got plenty of that. I mean, Steve Keim will take risks. And I firmly believe you look at Bruce Arians and the offense they unveiled there, bringing in Cliff Kingsbury, drafting Kyler Murray. That was a big deal, but that wasn't so much more an analytic-based decision as it was, you know what, we're going to take this 5'10" and 1/8 quarterback the year after we took another quarterback with the top 10 pick.
But as Gambo, as you've pointed out many times, that is a move, taking Kyler Murray, that took a lot of courage from Steve Keim in that moment to do it because it was so unorthodox and so unusual.
Yeah, I mean, because if they didn't take him, they would have taken Bosa, the kid that went to San Francisco. They would have taken him over Quinnen Williams. You know, we all kind of leaned that they were going to take Kyler Murray, but, you know, right up until draft day, it wasn't like 100%. Like, I felt decent about it, but not great about it. I feel better about some of the second-round picks and who they're going to take, you know, Byron Murphy and Buda Baker and guys like that. But, you know, it wasn't the easiest thing to do for the simple reason that you drafted Rosen. And after 13 games, like, Rosen didn't do anything to wow anybody. He wasn't very good. But some of that was that coaching? Was that the offensive line? Was it not enough skill position players? So there were still some people that were like, just keep Rosen and go get yourself a good defensive player.
Vinny, give me the last word on this one.
I believe, there was courage involved, but, and we said it in real time, that it was also a time-buying mechanism by Steve Keim. You have a top 10 pick, you invest in the wrong coach, obviously, the wrong quarterback, obviously, the wrong mix, obviously. He did something to be empowered, and maybe it was the pass. Michael Bidwell believed in him. Okay, we're going to give you another shot at it. But you go out and draft a second quarterback with a top 10 pick, the top overall pick, you've bought yourself some time.
Yeah.
At least 2 years.
Our roundtable coverage continues here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. When we come back with Bickley and Vinny and Gambo and myself, Dave Burns, we'll keep our attention on the Cardinals defense, and in particular, a unit that has put up good statistical numbers up until this point, but now running into the gauntlet the next few weeks. How prepared are they for that? We'll talk about it coming up here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals NFL Game Day.
Woo! Woo!
For everything Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back to our roundtable coverage here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and it is time now for our injury report brought to you by The Joint Chiropractic. Feel better with affordable routine chiropractic care from The Joint. Your back, baby. Kylie Fitz, the only player listed as out for this game. He will not be able to play. Dennis Gardeck, DJ Humphreys, a late addition to the injury report over the weekend with a back injury that flared up. They are both questionable, as is Devon Kennard. He is questionable for this game as well, and the Cardinals did make news over the weekend, putting J.R. Sweezy and Rashard Lawrence on the IR with injuries. Those guys will be out at least 3 weeks at this point. We assume that one roster spot will be taken by Jalen Thompson when he comes back. He's been practicing this week. And we also assume that Justin Murray, who got that contract extension a couple of weeks ago, will likely be the starter for J.R. Sweezy on the offensive line. So that is your injury report going into the game. And as Gambo mentioned earlier, yes, Leighton Vander Esch, the Cowboys linebacker, is going to play tonight for Dallas. So that is something to keep an eye on. We got about 10 minutes left here. Gambo, Bickley, Murata, me, Dave Burns here as we're getting you ready for Cardinals-Cowboys. And Bick, I want to thank you for kickstarting what I thought was a really good conversation on our show in the afternoons about the Cardinals' defense. Your Bickley blast captured our attention on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Because you've got two different paintings here of what the Cardinals' defense looks like. Statistically speaking, they're off to a tremendous start. Right?
Good, yeah.
Points allowed, not turnovers forced, but third down defense, red zone defense, total yards allowed. They're one of the 10 best teams in the NFL in a lot of those metrics. But you believe that while not on the hot seat, the spotlight on Vance Joseph is very, very bright given the quality of competition upcoming and how some of the things they've done in these first five games haven't exactly jived with
them
so far.
Absolutely. Because here's what, and this is the difference between looking at numbers and trusting your eyes. That's my opinion. When I look at the numbers, the Cardinals top 10 defense, a lot of things to be proud of. I saw a headline, Cardinal defense among the best in the NFL. I'm like, okay, I'd like to see that defense on a Sunday. I'd like to see that defense play. To me, there have been, in moments of stress, there have been your typical miscommunication. I can't get the moment of Cliff Kingsbury running down the sideline, looking back at Vance Joseph like, what are you doing, dude? Help me out here. I can't get that out of my head. I can't get the 10 men on the goal line out of my head when the Panthers scored a touchdown, the too many men on the field penalties, Patrick Peterson saying, look, it's not my fault. There's all these issues here with rub routes and guys are not...
Communication
issues. And there's been a lot of stuff in Vance Joseph's history to me that has been very underwhelming. All right? You're right. He is not on a hot seat here and now, but it is my opinion that if the Cardinals have that one season we spoke of, that is win some, lose some, not quite ready for prime time next year for the playoffs, then I think they got to make a change at defensive coordinator at the end of this year. If they're going to do something special, the defense is going to have to be a part of it now. You're going to have to find a way to manufacture pressure without Chandler Jones and not create all these mental errors in the secondary because you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Gambo, we had this conversation many times on Friday afternoon about what, you know, the defense, the state of the defense. After what you saw this weekend in the NFL and overall, what do you think is the state right now of the Cardinals defense going into a game where they're going to play by far the best offense they've seen so far this
Look,
year?
Look, I said it, you know, last week. I think what Bick was doing was forecasting ahead, looking at tough offenses coming up. You know, the Seattle offense, the Cowboys offense, and up to this part, there's been big improvements with the Cardinals defense, especially on third down, where they went from 31st in the league in third down defense to fourth in the league. Going into yesterday's game, they were fourth in the league in third down defense. So there's been tremendous improvement. Sacks, they've had a, you know, without Chandler Jones having a good year, they've gotten sacks from a lot of guys. They get 14, so they're up there in sacks. But the tougher part of the schedule is coming up, and if they flop against Dallas, and they flop against Seattle, and they flop against the Rams, and they flop against the Bills, well then, yeah, then I think, you know, we'll take a second look at Vance. So, up until this point, the defense has been good. I don't have a lot of complaints outside of maybe, you know, forcing a few more turnovers. But going forward, there's a lot of challenges ahead, and we're not sure how this defense is going to do.
Yeah, I mean, the points are all out there. They have been good. Outside of the one game, they've been good on third down. 35%, you'll take that as your percentage on third down. They've allowed only 9 touchdowns in 21 red zone trips by opponents. Those are all good. But I think what Bick says holds a lot of weight that if I would have just watched every Cardinals game, every snap defensively, and then at the end of that session of watching every snap, somebody said, oh, that's one of the top defenses in the league, I would have said, you're out of your damn mind.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
Your eyeballs do tell you something. And this is a litmus test because they've played okay offenses. They got riddled by Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
These next 2 weeks,
Joe Brady lit Vance Joseph up.
Joe Brady, in, you know, calling his what, third or fourth game as a pro coordinator at that point. These two offenses that they'll see in a span of 6 days, they'll keep a lot of coordinators up. So this is really a 2 week litmus test for this defense. And then, you know, when they get to the bye week, I'll have a much better idea of what this defense
Agreed.
Is. It's
That's
been
fair.
Better. But the bar was pretty low last year, in my opinion.
All right, we've got about 2 minutes left in our conversation. Gambo, I'm going to start with you on this one. Predictions for tonight's game. What do you think we're going to see between the Cowboys and the Cards?
Close game. I'll go Cowboys by a field goal at
Ooh.
Home. You know, if you want to score, I'll go 30-27.
Okay, 30-27 Cards. Vinny?
I think it's going to be high scoring, just like pretty much everybody who's looking at this game thinks it's going to be high scoring. I'll be optimistic. I'll go Cardinals by a field goal. I'll go 37-34.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had. I wrote down 38-35, knowing that it never turns out this way. If the Cardinals end up losing this game, I got a bad feeling about that. I think they could win a close game, a shootout. But if they lose this thing, I see this thing getting sideways.
And, you might
and
be right.
I'm afraid of it. Because Andy Dalton, even though I like to make fun of Andy Dalton when he was quarterback of the Bengals, and even though I like to claim he was overrated, that was in the context of starting quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
As a backup quarterback, I think this guy actually is dangerous. With those, how could he not be with those wide receivers and that running back? So,
I agree with you.
Yeah, I hope the Cardinals have this moment in their crosshairs, and I hope they handle it the way we all want them to.
42-35 Cards.
Wow.
Wow.
They're going to crack that elusive 40
there
mark.
There
yeah, I like it.
I think the Cardinals are putting a 40 burger on the Cowboys.
I like it.
Tonight.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just think they're
No, but that would be good.
Burger.
I think that would check a lot of boxes.
That would feel good to see them put a 40 burger on somebody. All right. That's going to do it for this portion of the roundtable conversation. Gambo, enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
All right, boys. Enjoy the game.
Bickley, Murata, thank you very much.
Thank
for
you, Burnsy.
Us to invade your airspace here on this one. We appreciate it. More of our pregame coverage continues right here. Coming up next on the flagship home of the Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.